where do we find hope and joy? And where do we not find hope and joy? And we talked about, hopefully, you're not looking for fulfillment from Santa or from a white Christmas. And I said, or even your family traditions. Well, little did I know that I was preaching to myself. Because the Sunday before Christmas, after Stacy struggling to breathe for 5 or 6 days, and she called her pulmonologist, and the pulmonologist said, yeah, your numbers are going down, not up, and you're now below the threshold, you need to get to the hospital. So we called 911 that Sunday, the ambulance came, took her to the hospital. The next day I got up and I'm like, oh, awesome, now I have COVID. So that day, we started through this process of Stacy being in the hospital, which I'm going to tell you a little more of, but of me being at home through Christmas with my wife, critically ill in the hospital. Chambersburg Hospital was completely shut down, so even if I didn't have COVID, I couldn't have gone to see her. And of course, since I had it, nobody could come to see me. So that's how I spent Christmas. So it was quite an interesting week. As far as me personally, I didn't have breathing difficulties. I had a lot of congestion. I had a extreme headache. I had a fever. And I was so tired. Wait till you hear how tired I was. I have never been this fatigued. Ever. So I woke up around 5 o'clock every morning, called the hospital, check on Stacy, stumbled down the stairs, forced myself to eat a piece of toast so that I could take my pain pills because I had no appetite. And then I would recognize that, you know what? That Mack truck ran over me again last night. Every joint and muscle hurt. And so I spent the day propped up on the sofa, sleeping and waking, sleeping and waking. About midnight, I would stumble up to bed. And this is how my days went. Well, I realized 2 times that this happened, that I went to bed, got up, throughout the day, I'd think, well, sometime today, I'll certainly have the strength to get in and get a shower and change my clothes. Nope. Went to bed that night. 2nd day, got up. Okay. Today, I've just gotta change clothes and take a shower. Nope. I did 3 days twice. For me, that is gross. I am a clean and neat freak. I change my clothes multiple times during the day. And I couldn't believe that I was that fatigued that I could not drag myself to a shower. So, and this is in addition to checking on Stacy. Stephanie was just getting over it. And then halfway through that week, we found out that Dory and Sadie had it. So, yay. I mentioned to you last Sunday, Psalm 27. The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Well, I had to change that to what? What shall I be afraid? Am I going to be afraid of this situation? Am I going to be afraid of COVID? The Lord is the strength of my life. Psalm 28 said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. So it was only through the Lord and all of you praying that we got through that situation. It was a rough couple weeks. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has, now listen, great power and wonderful result. Amen. So we, as a family, want to say thank you for praying for us. I know the Kimmels want to say thank you for praying for them. A number of you also had COVID, and we were able to keep you in prayer through that situation. So our prayers have great power, and wonderful results. Last Sunday, I was listening to Pastor Kurt's sermon, and I'm like, I had already had the verse, just the verse, and the theme for this Sunday. I'm like, he's preaching my sermon. Again. So remember he talked about when you're in a crisis, the most important thing is that you hear the word of the Lord. So here's how that went with Stacy. So she went in Sunday. Monday I called, and they said, well, your wife was dehydrated. Her potassium was low. I don't remember all the different meds they gave her. They said, we have her stabilized. Okay, well, that's good. So then she was on a BPAP machine, like people sleep with at home, except this is the hospital version. And it forces air into your lungs, which forces you to exhale. So she was on that for a couple days, and she was doing okay. But it really wasn't improving the way they wanted. So they said, we're going to try something different today. We're going to put her on oxygen that is heated and humidified. Okay? So she actually had a good day that day. So I thought, oh, yay. Okay, she's starting to make improvements. So the next day I called and I said, so how did my wife do overnight? And they said, we're sorry to tell you this, but she had a rough night. I said, okay, well, she was doing good yesterday. And they said, well, it's sometimes how this goes. And her numbers actually went down, and she's now, instead of being at 50 or 60% oxygen, she's on 100. I'm like, ooh, that does not sound good. So then I wish the nurse would have just left it there. Now, Lord bless the doctors and the nurses, and they took wonderful care of her. But the nurse said to me, well, oh goodness. So we'll know now in a couple of days if she's going to make it or not. And I just about dropped the phone. And I'm like, I never even considered that possibility. What do you mean we'll know in a couple of days if she's going to make it or not? And Stacy actually knew how bad she was. So I'm like, Lord, this is serious. Now, this was either Christmas Eve day or Christmas. Oh, yay. And so then the next day is when we found out that Sadie had it. And Sadie has asthma and is on a nebulizer, just like Stacy has asthma and is on a nebulizer. I said, Lord, this is a bad situation. This is a crisis situation. This isn't just we have a nasty flu and it's just going to quickly get better. So as I was praying a lot that day in between my sleeping, the Lord said, what a difference 2 days will make. I'm like, okay, Lord, say that to me again. I want to hear this again. And he said, what a difference 2 days will make. I'm like, okay. So this is Thursday. So I think it was Christmas Thursday or was Christmas Friday? I don't remember. Okay. So then that, I think this was Thursday. So then the next day I called to check on Stacy, and I was actually able to talk to her. Some days she couldn't talk because she couldn't breathe. And she said, so I've had an interesting experience. Well, you never know how to take that. You know, interesting experience. And you're in the hospital and you hadn't been doing very well. So she said, well, you know, I was on that heated and moisturized, hydrated oxygen. And she said, the part of it that puts the moisture in it didn't work right. And it squirted water up in my nose. So I had to tear the mask off quick and call the nurses. And she said, so that wasn't good. I'm like, yeah. She said, but they said to me, okay, we're going to put you just on regular passive oxygen, you know, which is available for you to use. It's not forced into your lungs, like all of this had been so far. And we'll put you on that till respiratory therapy comes and repairs your machine. So she said, okay. And her numbers stayed up just on passive oxygen. So they said, we'll try it throughout the day. It's a pretty high level, but we'll see if you can maintain that. So that was day one. Lord said, what a difference 2 days will make. 2 days before that, the nurse is saying, we'll know in a few days if she'll make it or not. So then the next day, I called, and they said, we were able to actually turn the volume down a little bit, and her numbers are still staying. That was day two. So that afternoon, they said, you know what? She might be able to come home Saturday or Sunday. Do you remember which it was? I don't remember either. Our days sort of all blurred together. And I couldn't go get her because I had COVID, so you went and got her, right? So Steph went and got her. They should have sent her home with oxygen because her bedroom is upstairs, her bathroom is upstairs, and the very first time she tried to go upstairs, she only made it halfway. But we've been slowly making progress. But my point is, and where we're going to go today is, what we need most in a crisis is what God's saying about that crisis. God bless every nurse, every therapist, every doctor. She was in the Chambersburg Hospital and they took wonderful care of her. They would talk to me every day, give me updates. The doctor would actually call me because the doctor knew I couldn't come in. So every 2 or 3 days, this doctor called me and gave me updates. So they did wonderful, but the Lord knew the outcome. They didn't. And so I could either listen to what they're telling me or say, Lord, I really need to hear from you. And that's where I was that day. I'm like, this is a nasty situation that I didn't want to be in Christmas week. What do you say about it? And he said, what a difference 2 days. So we have a couple stories from the Word. In 2 Kings, the king of Aram decided to bring his army and besiege Israel. Now, do you know what besiege means? That means they blockade the city so nothing comes out, nothing goes in. Well, if you're living inside a walled city, your farms aren't inside the city. Your food doesn't come from inside the city, so the people were literally starving. I don't want to read the gross story that is part of that, but you can look at yourself to see how bad the starvation actually got. But it was pretty severe. They realized that there wasn't anything they could do, it was only God. See, we had a word like that this morning, didn't we? Sometimes we're in situations where we want to see things change, but we can't do anything about it. It's a but God situation. And that's where they were. They were looking to God, and Elisha, the prophet, said, listen to the word of the Lord. Crisis situation, what did you need to hear? Word of the Lord. Not what the army's saying, not what the people are saying. I mean, can you imagine the people grumbling against the king? What is wrong with you? How are you going to help us? How are you going to rescue us? And Elisha said, listen to the word of the Lord. Tomorrow. See, he told me 2 days. He told them tomorrow. This is in 2 Kings 7, by the way. Tomorrow, at this time, in the marketplace, there had been no marketplace. We're out of food. You can't go to Giant. You can't go to the farmer's market at the square. There's no food. Tomorrow, at this time in the market, 6 quarts of choice. Let's try that again. 6 quarts of choice flour will sell for 1 piece of silver, 12 quarts of barley will cost one piece of silver. What? The situation they were in is there was no food at any cost. Now, if you wanted to get rich and you had a bag of flour, okay, you remember back in April or May, you went to the store and there were some times that I went in, there was no meat except hot dogs. I hate hot dogs. I gag on hot dogs. Hot dogs to me is like pink bologna, and the last time I ate pink bologna, excuse me, but I puked it back up. So I just said, I guess we'll eat whatever we have at the house. Okay, so there was no food, but if you had food, if you had a bag of flour, we baked bread, there was no bread flour available at any price for months. You could make a lot of money. Here's a bag of flour. I'll take $1,000 for that bag of flour. And God said, tomorrow you can buy 6 bags for 1 coin. One of the officers of the king said, even if God opened the windows of heaven, this thing could not be. But the word of the Lord. But the word of the Lord. All right. So, like I said, this was in 2 Kings 7. So, I'll tell you the story. There were 4 lepers sitting outside the gate. And they said, hey, fellas, what are we going to do? They said, if we go inside the city, we'll starve. We're starving outside the city. Why don't we go and see if maybe we can get the enemy to give us something, even if we become prisoners, we're ahead of the game. Because we're going to die otherwise. So they go out, and they're sneaking, and they get to the first tent. There's nobody in the tent. They're like, okay, well, let's sneak in this tent, and we'll grab some food and run back to the city. So they go into the tent, and they get the food, and they come out, and they look around, and they're like, I don't think there's anybody in any of the tents. So they go to another tent and they get the food in there and they're like, oh, wait a minute. That whole city is starving to death and we just went to the buffet. I don't even know what buffets are open anymore. But we just went to the buffet and had our 6th plateful of food. We've got to go back and tell them. So they go back and they tell the guards and the guards say, yeah, okay, sure. That whole army was there yesterday, and now you're telling me today, remember God said tomorrow, the whole army's gone? I mean, was it the rapture? Did they disappear? What happened? And they tell the king, and the king said, oh, they're being sneaky. They're hiding, knowing that we're going to come out, see the empty tents, then they're going to attack us. The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and the sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. And they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to come after us. So they fled for their lives. Come on! The people of the city didn't do anything. This whole army goes, oh, wait a minute, I hear horses and I hear chariots. It's the enemy. And they ran. They left everything. So the Israelites went out and plundered the camp, and they had so much abundance after eating and not starving, and taking food to their homes, that 6 quarts of flour sold for a piece of silver, and 12 quarts of grain for one. Come on. Come on! God said, tomorrow. Second story. All the enemies of Judah came together. Okay? This king, and this king, and this king, and they said, okay, we can't defeat them on our own, but let's all 3 of us show up. So they show up, and this is in 2 Chronicles 20, and the king this time was Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, it said, was afraid. And he sought the Lord, and he called all the people. Remember I said we got through this by the strength of the Lord and your prayer. And he called the nation together, and he said, okay, we're going to pray and fast. Why? Because we want to hear what the Lord has to say. So it said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, a Levite. And this is what he said. Do not be dismayed or fear this great multitude. Okay, this wasn't a couple hundred people. This wasn't a little battle. This was an unwinnable fight. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we cannot win, where we do not have the resources to overcome the situation. He said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He went on to say, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. So how did the people respond to this word of the Lord? It said, the king worshiped, the people worshiped, and then the king, now listen, the king called the praise team. He called the worship team. Why? Because they were in the mood for some good music? Come on. Praise and worship is not passive, it's active. And praise and worship tears down the plans of the enemy and raises up the plans of the Lord. He appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised Him, and they went out before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against them. It doesn't tell us exactly what that means, but there were three armies, and two of the armies, whatever God did, they blamed it on army number three. So they said, those guys over there are attacking us. So army one and two got together. It says they destroyed army number three. Then they said, no, wait a minute. It might not have been army number three. It might have been you. So they destroyed each other. Judah didn't do anything. Jehoshaphat's army didn't do anything. They prayed, they heard the word of the Lord, and then they praised and worshiped. And God made the difference. So how important is it to hear the word of the Lord in the situation? Because what would be the logical, normal thing to do? It would be to take your army out there and do whatever you could do. But God didn't tell them to do that. He said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. So, when we're in a rough situation, when we're in a crisis, what do we need? We need to hear from God. Because we can hear from this famous person, that advisor. We can get information galore today. But what does the Lord say? What does the Lord say? All right. My actual text for today that I started with last Sunday is where we're going to end. John 21. So this is after Jesus' death and resurrection. And he had appeared, remember, to this group and that group and to Mary and the road to Emmaus and his disciples without Thomas, then his disciples with Thomas. And today, Simon Peter, for whatever reason, and there's all kinds of commentaries about why, so I won't bore you with, you know, the 12 theories of why Peter did this, but he said to a bunch of his buddies, hey, you know, we had all this happen. Jesus died. Jesus rose. We're sort of in the waiting period here. Let's go fishing. What do you think about that? You'd like that idea, Marlon. Uh-huh. I wouldn't go. Never liked fishing. Did it a number of times. I don't like the hooks. I don't like the worms. I don't like gutting the fish. If I want fish, I can go and buy a nice salmon fillet at Giant. And I sit in the boat hour after hour. It's like, okay, I was done in 20 minutes. Now we're in 2.5 hours. I might have got one bite. Marlon, I just remembered a fun story. Okay, I don't too often take bunny trails like some of the other speakers do. Not that I'll point out what other speakers I might be talking about. But this is a fun story. So I'm a young man in my early 20s, and I have just started being in the Christian community and a charismatic Christian church. And so we get invited to a church picnic right along Creek Road, there at the bridge, the Shadows, remember the Shadows? I can't remember, what was that road called? Yeah, but what was the road going over the creek? Creek Road? Is it Creek Road? I thought it might have been Creek Road. Okay, so you know what I mean, in Plainfield. And we're there at the picnic, and Marlon has a bunch of his 12 kids with him, and they decide that they're going to go fishing. Well, when I do fishing, like I took the girls a few times, and you know, you get your equipment and you get all organized and you go down and you sit and you put the worm on the hook and you know, somebody casts. And so, you know, it was Sonny and Brian and Mark and I don't know who else. It was a whole slew, and I'm talking kids all probably under 10. Oh yeah. So a whole slew, Pastor Kurt, of kids under 10, and here I am in my 20s, not married, no kids, and I decide, I don't know why, I decide I'm going to go down to the creek fishing with them. So we walk down over the bank, and we're standing there, and the next thing I know, here goes a line, and there goes the line, one zips past my head, you know, so I'm moving back, and the next thing, one of them is like, Dad! He goes, what? I got a hook stuck in my, and I don't like blood. And he goes, oh, just yank it out. And I'm like, okay now. So, and he was calm and relaxed. It was like nothing was happening. Hooks were flying everywhere and worms and bait and fish. They were having a wonderful time. I'm like, I'm going back to the picnic. Yeah, a little too much. Overload of, concerns happening here at one time, and you take care of the blood and all that. So Peter says, let's go fishing. So it says six of the guys say, sure, we'll go along. So now listen, he and Andrew and James and John were professional fishermen. It was the family business. Like Marlon's family, they had been out fishing since they were 3 years old. They were used to hooks and needles and nets and blood and all of that and guts and scales and everything else. They knew when to fish, where to fish, and how to fish. I don't know any of that. They knew where this kind of fish were and that kind of fish were. Okay, they knew the whole thing. Said they were out all night. I would have been crazy. 12 hours fishing, and they caught a dozen little sunnies. It said they didn't catch nothing. Come on. Professional fishermen all night and nothing. Yeah. Not my idea of a fun time. So then they see this man, and we don't know why. Theologians don't know why. Some of these experiences with Jesus, they recognized him, and some of them they didn't. I mean, like the road to Emmaus, and these were not his close disciples, but they were followers, and you don't recognize him? Okay. So they didn't recognize him. They said, oh, look, there's a stranger on the beach. And this stranger yells, Hey, buds, how'd it go overnight? What'd you catch? Well, now that you scared all the fish away, but no, we didn't catch anything. Nothing. Nope. Throw the net out on the right side of the boat. Now, come on. You don't think in 12 hours they tried the right side of the boat? They tried the right, the left, the front, the back. Okay? They went there, they went there, they went there, they went there. All night now, come on. Nothing. Not even a minute. Nothing. Jesus tells them to throw it out on the right side of the boat, and they were on their way back. It says they were in the shallow. Threw the net in, pulled it in, come on. It was so full, it almost broke. And a light dawned on for Peter. Oh, been there, done that. See, they had this same exact experience back at the beginning of their time with Jesus, and they're like, oh, this is Jesus. So Peter puts his robe on, you know, impetuous Peter. He can't wait 10 minutes for the boat to get in. He dives into the water and goes in and talks to Jesus. Said they drug the net in. Now, I don't know why they took the time to do this, especially when Jesus was there and he had already cooked some fish before they got their fish in. Somebody counted 153, and the adjective is large fish. I'd been happy with 153 small fish. 153 large fish. That had been enough for them, their families, and to make a little money at the market. Okay. Now think about this. If you would have asked them, okay, right, Marlon? You know when to go, where to go, and how to do it. So if you would ask these guys, okay, did you know when to go? Yep, yep, 11 o'clock at night, that's it. You know where to go? Yep, right out there, there's a whole stream of fish. Every day, every night, right through there. And you know how to do it. Yep, we have the perfect net. Sometimes we go by what we know. We go by what's comfortable. We go by how we did it for the last 10 years. We go maybe even by what an expert told us to do. We're not an expert, but we consulted an expert. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't ask for wise advice. Not saying that. But sometimes even the experts don't know what Jesus knows. Jesus said, throw the net out on the right side. Made no sense. It's dawn now. We're not out where the fish run. We already did the right side of the boat. So are we going to listen to the word of the Lord? We have to want to hear it. We have to be listening for it. But then we have to choose to obey. They could have said, we know there's no fish out there on the right side of the boat. We're not throwing that net in. Right? Especially when they didn't even recognize it yet as being Jesus, the person talking to them. So we have to learn to start asking God when. Because He knows the timing. I have to admit, His timing confuses me. Because I think when He says things are going to happen, I think He means now, or why would He tell me? Yeah, doesn't happen that way. Or I'll think something's going to take a long time. God decides it's happening now. Things move that I thought would never move. Doors open that I thought would never open. Things change that I would think never change. His time. Then we have to ask Him where. For years and years, church people, Christians, usins, if I can include usins in this, we assumed if God was going to move in people's lives and people were going to get saved, it was going to happen in here on Sunday morning. Guess what? We're in a culture that's changing even before COVID. That had started to change. It started happening at workplaces, at Walmart, at Giant, talking to your next door neighbor. Now, it almost has to happen there. There's very few non-Christians coming out to church at this point. They're staying home. They're not comfortable coming. So we have to ask God where? Out in the community? The grocery store? At work? Where? When? Where? And how? See, they thought they knew the how, too. I often think I know the how, because it's something I did before, something I learned before, something that worked before. So if it worked 5 years ago, why wouldn't it work now? So we have to be willing to ask God when and where and how. All right. So we are going to stand and close. And if you're going through a difficult season, maybe you're not labeling it a crisis, but it's a difficult season, and you need to know what God says, you know, He actually wants you to hear. In none of these cases, in these situations, did he say, well, I'm sorry you want to hear from me, but I don't feel like talking today. When I went to him and I said, this is a really rough situation. It's not looking good. It's not getting better. I need to know what you're saying. He told me. So I think he'll tell you. If you have a situation that you need to know when or how or where, I think he wants to tell you. So let's talk to him. Father God, not only are we thankful today that you do the miraculous, but we're thankful that you know all things. So you know the when, the how, and the where. So whatever situation we're in right now, whatever difficulty, whatever struggle, and we have thought it through and thought it through and thought it through till we have almost exhausted ourselves, we realize that what we really needed was to not think about it more, but to talk to you more. And we've heard what others said. We've heard what the doctors say. We heard what social media said. We heard what the experts and the technicians are saying. But God, what we really need is to hear what you're saying. So Father, you could do it right now. You could do it on our way home. You could do it in our devotions. As we go to bed tonight, you could do it tomorrow morning as we sit down for a few minutes with the written word of God and say, talk to me. You want to tell us how, you want to tell us when, you want to tell us where. We want to know your solution. We want to see the situation from your point of view. We can quickly get 50 other points of view, but we need your point of view. So Holy Spirit, speak clearly and specifically to each one that needs to hear from you. And I'm so thankful for these examples in your word that said tomorrow, that said today, that said now. And I'm thankful that you said to me 2 days. So Lord, We thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. We're never alone. And that you always want to speak to us. So open our ears to hear and our eyes to see and our hearts to follow after you. In Jesus' name. Amen.